Good Shabbos, everyone. It is a delight to be back and see all your smiling faces again. It is my high privilege and honor to reintroduce my twin brother, Alex Yalenga. We call him twin brother here in our home because he and I came to faith exactly the same way. And our lives have had amazing parallels. Almost every important thing of his life has had a parallel in mine, for which I am profoundly sorry for him. But Alex, in case some of you might not know his story, let me give you a very brief recap. He was destined to be the leader of his tribe, and he was seeking out advice on how he might lead his people, and someone suggested to him that he read a Bible, and he said, "What's that?" He didn't know. He lived in a small village in Zambia, 30 miles from the capital city, Lusaka. I have been to that village. I saw the place where his little mud hut was. I saw the well that his mother dug, still there, still drawing water from it. So he decided to go find a Bible, and so he got on the road out there, dirt road, and he walked 30 miles to Lusaka. He was able to find a Bible there, and he convinced the librarian in the university library where he found the Bible to allow him to read it, and he did. And so he walked 30 miles to read the Bible. He read as far as he could, and then he had to walk home and resume his duties. And so then he would walk back 30 miles, and then back home, back 30 miles, and back home. Now, he did that about twice a week for 7 years. You do the math. It's really a pretty big number. And he finally read the whole way through the Bible, and when he closed it at the end, he said, "This is the true God. This is the real God. The gods of Africa are not true and not real. This is the real God. He is my God." And so Alex is understandably quite excited to tell his family, tell his tribe, tell his people what he has discovered. And so he tells them. And it came up very interestingly because his mom was sick and they asked him to go through a pagan ceremony to heal her. Well, we know those things don't work. And Alex says, "Well, that's not how God works." And they express their gratitude by kicking him out of the tribe. They blamed his mother's death on him because he wouldn't do the pagan ceremony. So he spends the next many years homeless, rejected by his people. Well, that sounds familiar. But he never gave up his faith. And he constantly was looking for people who believed in Yeshua, who were Jewish, because he knew they existed. He'd read them in the Bible. One evening, one Friday evening, before services over 20 years ago, he walked in that door right over there. I was seated right about where Robert is today, and he walked up and he stood there just looking around a bit. Well, Pam and the other ladies were practicing dance. I stuck out my hand. I introduced myself. And he says, "My name is Alex Yalenga." And I said, "You're not from around here, are you?" And I asked him his story, and he told it to me, much more of the story than I've told you. But the bottom line is that I told Bert, and I said, "Bert, you got to hear this boy's story." He was just a kid back then. He turned sideways, he would disappear. Such a thin kid. Stop. And so Bert said, "I have a beautiful sermon prepared for today, but I'm not going to give it. Get over here and tell these people your story." And he did. All he wanted to do was find Jews who loved Jesus, Yeshua, and he wound up having to offer himself up as a sermon the first time he did that. So, you know, God's timing is sometimes pretty good. And, of course, we fell in love with him then and have since. Wonderfully, beautifully, Alex and I have been working together for now for more than 20 years. He comes here, and I help him here. I go to Zambia. He helps me there. We get a lot of work done on both sides of this ocean, not the least of which is the education of orphans. Faye Yalenga, his wife, is educating orphans, not only in the orphanage, but in a school. The school has better than, I don't know, 200 or 300 orphans. They are studying now. They're adding more grades, almost up to 12 now. These orphans live on the street. They have no place to live. It's in the worst part of Lusaka. It's to call it a slum would not do it justice. It's worse. But that's where they are. And they come and they study. And they learn stuff that kids should learn in school, but they also learn about God. Alex and Faye are training the next leaders of Zambia. In one generation, that country can turn around. It can. And I'm praying that it does. And it's all because of the efforts of Alex and Faye through God's great glory and his honor. That's not all. I mean, there are many, many things that are going on. Congregations are being planted. We're now done some things in Zimbabwe, in southern Congo, Malawi. Things are moving. They're expanding. But it's a lot of fight. It's a lot of fight. Satan doesn't like what we're doing. But enough of me telling his story. Let Alex talk a little bit about what he's doing. Let me introduce to you once again my twin brother, Alex Yelenga.
Later.
Okay. Later. Lord, I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for this free country where we can come and do this and not worry about it. Please keep it free a bit longer. Thank you for the work being done in Zambia, for the message going forth of you, who you are, your redemptive plan for the whole world, and all of those hundreds and hundreds who are coming to faith, including kings and queens.
Amen.
Lord, you are doing amazing work. Please continue it with Faye. Continue it with Alex, and help us to participate in any way we can with this amazing, worthy effort. We thank you for your protection. Continue your protection in your holy name. Amen.
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 Thank
you.
God bless you.
You give them heaven.
Shabbat shalom. And happy Hanukkah, by the way. Well, all I can say is that our God is an amazing God. Yeah, I tell people that be careful of that Bible to mess you up. In a good way, though, the Lord has been faithful. The Lord has been kind to me. For me, it's such a privilege, an honor to be with you all, to worship the Holy One of Israel. I just thank him. I would like also to thank Rabbi Beit Yelin and the leadership of this congregation for standing with us these past 21 years, supporting us, praying with us, encouraging us. And the Lord has used this congregation not only to help us in Zambia, but others as well around the world, to do what he has called us to do. As Jay has said, we are now serving not only in Zambia, we are now in Malawi, in Congo, Zimbabwe, and also Ethiopia. We are working there. It's been such a great honor to serve with my brother Jay and his lovely wife Pam, seeing him witness to kings and queens in my country, Zambia, as he shares with them about the great King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yeshua, our Messiah. Yeah, it's been such an honor to see kings bow before the God of Israel. And as Jay said also, we are reaching out to orphans, helping them to have food, to read and write, but above all to know the one who can do more than what we are able to do for them, the Holy One of Israel. My message today is connected with Hanukkah, and it is called Victorious Faith in Troubled Times. How can we have a faith that will give us victory during these times or these crazy times when so much is happening? And I believe Hanukkah has many lessons for all of us today. During this season, we do not just remember what our God did in the, you know, in the ancient times, the ancient victories of our people, but we do remember what He's doing around this time around, and also the future victories that He has promised. Most of us know the Hanukkah story when the evil Antiochus IV decided to force our people to abandon the religion of our fathers. He was in charge of the most powerful army in the ancient world. Power was on his side, and he did many wicked and offensive things, like setting up an idol in the holy temple in Jerusalem. He also tried to stop our people from keeping many of the beautiful traditions that the Lord gave to our people, like keeping Shabbat, circumcision, and many others. He tried to force our people to eat swine and to bow before idols. But the good news is that some of our people did not resign themselves to hopelessness. We see that our people, led by the Maccabees, believed in something bigger than the enemy. In our time, we've made the enemy look bigger than our God. In our time, we have magnified the enemy, his power, above that of our God. But the Maccabees did not do that, and we can learn that from them. They had something that we all need to learn and encourage ourselves in having, and that is faith. Faith in the everlasting God. And this faith in our God, in the living God, delivered to our people a stunning victory against the most powerful and well-equipped army in the ancient world. After 3 years, our people reconquered Jerusalem, rededicated the Holy Temple, and relit the ancient menorah with one cruse of undefiled oil, which kept burning for 8 days, hence our celebration today. This was a victory of the few over the many, a victory of the weak over the strong, a victory of the oppressed, overcoming the oppressor, a victory of those who were not well-equipped over those who were well-equipped. For me, it was a victory of faith over hopelessness. However, we tend to see a repeat of the Hanukkah story in our days as the world tries hard, so much hard, to interfere, limit, and in some cases, do away with true worship. It could have been okay if they did it themselves, but they would want everyone else to be involved in the wrong that the world is doing. It is like Hanukkah. They won't leave you alone. However, we must know that our mindset will determine the outcome of our walk with the Lord. If we think our God is small, if we think ours is a lost cause, we are not going to see victory. We must also know that we cannot faithfully follow the great God of Israel without arousing the wrath of the enemy. Yeshua told us clearly in Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword." I want to encourage you, children of the Most High God, these are times to be mentally ready to confront the enemy. Not to run away from the enemy, but also to see what our God is able to do for us. There will always be a clash between right and wrong. There will always be a clash between truth and lies, faith and hopelessness. Hanukkah was a clash of civilizations. And we see a clash in our days of right and wrong, of life and death, love and hatred. What I love the most about Hanukkah, it is all about the story of faith. We are living in times where we obviously are aware of the various levels of instability. There's a lot of physical and sometimes spiritual insecurity. in some places, which is affecting our faith. It's true, these are strange times. It's true, these are troubled and very stressful times. It seems that there's no rest from the difficult and the unpleasant. Many of God's children feel that they live in communities or in a world which is in a rapid decline, a world beset by leadership crisis, a breakdown of law and order, and diminishing personal and spiritual freedoms. What seems to be flourishing out there in the world is lawlessness and every wrong thing. When it comes to right things, it's like everything else is just diminishing. Navigating these times with wisdom seems to be very challenging and hard. Many of us have witnessed difficult times of loss, of pain, of confusion, and sometimes even disappointment. We have seen some very fine and godly people, those who love the Lord, precious people, succumb to the disease. We have seen a lot of agitation. We have seen loss. We have seen pain. But we can be strong and retain our faith in these troubled and difficult times. The Holy Scriptures do not talk about the absence of crisis, the absence of adversity and confusion. The Lord tells us it will even get worse as we get towards the end. But the good thing is that He promises each one of us that His presence is going to be with us each and every second of the day. When crisis strikes, we can depend on our God who is faithful to His word. When the world is in a shouting contest, we can find solace in Him who rules over ideologies. He rules over mighty nations. He rules over all powers. The truth is that there will be difficult times, but the living God promises to be our refuge. We must know that our God has not failed us. He has not gone to sleep. Our God has promised to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. But we must be mentally prepared. Many in the body of Messiah are preparing God's children for failure because they promise heaven when we are about to encounter the enemy to fight. They promise rest when it's time to work. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days hard times will come. My observation has been that one of the spiritual casualties in our time, with all the crazy things going on, has been our faith in our Creator. Faith has been impacted in a negative way for some of God's children. With some of God's children, faith in the Creator has diminished. With others, it is sadly dying, and others, it has even died. But without faith, we cannot please our Maker, and let alone overcome the odds that are set against us. This is why the subject of faith, even if it's basic, is so very much important to each one of us. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith in our God will keep us from being overwhelmed with what is going on around us. We ought to be deliberate and intentional in asking the Lord to grow our faith, in protecting our faith, and in nurturing our faith as well. For our faith to be victorious, I think we need to bring into play a number of things. We need to embrace holiness. We need to embrace courage. Faith without courage will not lead us very far. We need to worship our God, because this is what our God is looking for. True worshipers. And I can say this congregation is a fulfillment of God's word, a prophetic end-time congregation where Jew and Gentile come to worship the Holy One of Israel. The enemy does not like this. The last time Jew and Gentile came together to worship the Lord the way he was worshipped was about 2,000 years ago. The Lord will do his best to discourage, to frustrate, and to fight, especially the leadership, from doing a good work that they are doing. We need to guard our worship, embrace and enjoy our worship. We need to be grateful. This is not a time to complain and whine. There's so much our God is doing for us and throughout the world. This is a time to pray. We can only do so much, but our God can do everything. This is a time to seek his comfort. The enemy knows his time is up. His time is short. He knows your potential. He knows what you're made up of. And he wants to discourage you. These are times to listen from our God, to see ourselves through his eyes, not through the eyes of the enemy. These are times of being courageous. With our God, we will not only survive, but we are going to thrive. Remember that some of the most inspiring and beautiful stories of the Bible were written in troubled and difficult times. And this includes the Hanukkah story. Some of the richest encounters with the Almighty happened during troubled, during difficult and painful times. So when you encounter adversity, that is an opportunity for the Lord to do what he's good at doing, the impossible. A lot of divine revelation happened during troubled times. Most of our prophets lived in times that were fully packed with pain, with disaster, but they still saw the hand of the Almighty. One such prophet was Jeremiah, one of my favorite prophets. Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of our beautiful temple, the place where the Shekinah glory of our God dwelt. He witnessed the defeat of our nation, the massacre of our people. He witnessed the pain of exile. Despite all that, Jeremiah expressed deep faith that our God is the living water that sustains all of us. He wrote in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, "Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots by a stream. It has no fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It does not worry in a year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit." This was Jeremiah. For us to live a victorious spiritual life, we need faith. Faith in the living God will help us through many of these difficult times that we are encountering right now. In your experience, have you turned to the living God in prayer, in faith, when life became hard or difficult? Jeremiah experienced trying times, and yet he was able to find within himself hope. He was able to allow his faith to rise from what he was seeing to that which he was not able to see. Thousands of years after Jeremiah, we human beings still experience these evils. Even if you're a child of God, there'll be times when you're going to experience defeat, pain, loss, and suffering. This is why the Hanukkah story is so important to all of us. Because within the Hanukkah story, we see loss, we see setbacks, but ultimately we see victory. The question that we sometimes ask is, how does one continue to believe, to let God in when such devastation surrounds us at all times? I think when we make the enemy bigger, we begin to ask such questions. It is true that pain can harden one's heart. It can make a person become mistrustful of others. Maintaining faith in difficult times is a struggle for each one of us. And this is what happened during the Hanukkah story. Jeremiah offers these words of consolation and hope, describing that a person who has faith in the great God of Israel will survive the toughest of times. Children of the Most High, faith is knowing that the great God of Israel is in the picture. He's fully aware of whatever is going on. Faith is knowing that nothing touches his children without his permission. Faith is believing that our God has a plan, and that plan will ultimately prevail and come to be. Faith is knowing that whatever is allowed to touch God's children, whether good or bad, was meant to produce a positive spiritual result. We look at stories like the Exodus. We had an evil man oppress our people, Pharaoh, fight our people, kill the male children, male babies. But because of him, the Lord showed us what he's capable of. The great miracles, the parting of the Red Sea. Nothing that touches you will touch you without first going through him. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be easier. There's no situation so chaotic that the great God of Israel cannot, from that situation, create something that is very good. From Jeremiah and others, we learn that we need faith to overcome difficult times. Hanukkah, among other things, is a celebration of light. When you look at the lights of the Hanukkah, what do you see? When you look at yourself, what do you see? Well, most of us will see few numbers. We'll see limitations. But that's not what our God sees. Our God sees victory. Our God sees light. When he looks at you and me, he says, you are the light of the world. Because of Yeshua who lives in us, Yeshua, the true light of the world, the seventh light, when we allow him, we become lights in this world. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. He's not saying you might become the light or you may be the light. Because he lives in you, he says you are the light. I think we should stop focusing more on the darkness around us. We spend a considerable amount of time observing the darkness, following up on what the enemy is doing or what he's up to. We are terrified when the enemy makes his moves. Why? Because we are forgetting who we are. We are not darkness. We are light. When we concentrate on the darkness, our faith will be shaken. When we concentrate on the numbers, we'll be discouraged. Our God is not about numbers. He's about faith in him, knowing that with him we are always the majority. Amen. The prophet prayed to the Lord when he was surrounded by armies. He prayed, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And when his eyes were opened, all the mountains were filled with chariots of fire. In Africa, we get these stories all the time. People practice voodoo and witchcraft. They will send curses. They will try to stop us from spreading the word. They always come and say, you know what? There's a ring of fire around each and every child of the living God. I believe the most important thing is for us to live as light. Yes, we cannot be ignorant of what is going on around the world, but that should not be our focus. The most important thing that the Lord wants from each one of us is to look at ourselves through His eyes. You are the light. There are two ways to live in a world that is often dark and full of tears. We can either curse the darkness or become the light that pushes the darkness, knowing that a little light pushes a lot of darkness. May we all help to light up the world. May we allow Yeshua to sit on the throne of our hearts, because He is the true light. Originally, the Hanukkah candles used to be lit outside the front door of the house. Today, we lit the Hanukkah candles by our windows for the world to see. That's exactly why the Lord called you to be the light. You're not saved for yourself. You're saved that the world may see Him through you. He could have done it by Himself. This is such a great honor to work with the living God, to bring salvation. Most of the things our God does are very impossible. When you look at them, there's no way, humanly speaking. But He's a God of impossibilities. Whatever He says will come to be. Our job is not to look at the how, but to celebrate and thank Him that it will happen. You, as the light of the world, must stand out and be that light. Don't be afraid to announce your faith in the great God of Israel. Don't be afraid to live by those exalted principles and values that are divine in nature. And if necessary, fight for freedom to serve and worship the living God. Fight for life. Our faith is about celebrating life, protecting life. The world is about destroying life. There's a difference. Remember that you may be the only light others may ever come across. This congregation prays for people who have not been reached by the gospel. It is true that there are many people who have not been reached by the gospel. You live in a country where there are synagogues and churches almost on every street. There are places where people have never heard of the Creator God. There are places where no missionary has gone there to. If you look at some of the Muslim countries like Somalia, they're 100% Muslim. But the Lord has told us one day He's going to gather a people from every nation. The best way to live as light is to live a life of obedience. The best testimony you can give to the world is how you live your life. We should minimize complaining on how dark the world is. I think the world is dark because many of God's children are absent from many of these places. We need to be present in the home as light, in our families, in our communities, in our congregation. As a matter of fact, this is your first calling. Your congregation, your community. The Lord has called you to be a light of hope. That's one thing light does, it brings hope. A light of hope to the rest of the world. The world is hopeless. There's no hope out there. I come from a background of people worshipped spirits, what I call demons today, they do not offer hope. They do not offer eternity. Only Yeshua offers that. You are that hope to the world. The Lord has called you to be that light of hope. When you use the flame of your faith to light a candle in someone's faith, someone's life, your light is not diminished at all. It actually grows. And there is more light out there in the world. When it comes to spiritual matters, the more we share, the more we have. The more we love, the more love grows. The more we share our encounters with the divine, the more others want more of him. I want to encourage you, share your light with others. Take the flame of your faith and help set other souls on fire for him. The Maccabees did not only have faith in the living God, they also had courage. Courage is perhaps the grandest and noblest of all words, and it is missing in the body of Messiah. We carry ourselves, for the most part, as defeated instead of as victors. We see ourselves as victims instead of victors. Children of God, these are days for courageous faith and courageous living. Yes, there'll be difficulties out there, but we should not focus more on the difficulties, but on what the Lord wants to achieve using those difficult times. Courage is no longer a choice for God's children. It's a commandment. Joshua 1, 6 and 7, we're told, be strong and of a good courage. The enemy knows his time is short. He knows what you are carrying. Other people's salvation lies within you, and he wants to stop you, to discourage you, to wear you down by telling you that ours is a lost cause. We need to know and learn how to encourage ourselves in our God. The life of a believer is a life of constant warfare, and sometimes the battles can be intense. But we can still be courageous when we know the God we serve, when we know the God we worship. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In order for us to be strong in the Lord, we must know the Lord's strength and power. If we are to withstand the storms of life and the vicious assaults of the enemy, we have to look up to our God, understand his power, and aspire to stand in the center of his will. On our own, we are defeated. On our own, we can't do it. It's all about him and his power. It's all about who our God is. When you compare him with other gods out there in the world, he's in a class of his own. He's the only God who claims ownership of the entire universe. Our God is in control. He has jurisdiction over all things, over all nations, over all systems and peoples. The great God of Israel is the first cause. He is the effective cause. And he is the final cause of all things. He is the source. He is the sustainer. And he is the significance of all things. And this is the God who came and handpicked you and me. He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. This is a God who has said that he'll complete what he started within you if we let him. He's faithful. He'll be faithful to complete what he started. He never fails. He's good at what he does. Our God has no equal. Nothing stands in his way. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing challenges him. When Yeshua came and walked the earth, he came to save. He didn't come to fight, like he will do this time when he comes. But every time he encountered demons The forces of darkness, they always cried out, why have you come to destroy us before our time? They didn't put up a fight at all because they know who he is. That's the God who lives in you. That's the God who walks with you. That's the God who owns this congregation, this house. Nothing is difficult or impossible with our King. He is on time, and everything is under his control. There's a saying that if you can't see his hand, trust his heart. He knows what he's doing. Daniel 4, verse 35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stop his hand or say to him, what have you done? We can be confident that our God is doing what needs to be done. The thing about faith is that you don't see him. You don't see what he's doing. That can be discouraging. This is why we need to grow our faith. Another important lesson we learn from the Hanukkah story is that it's not about resources, it's not about might, it's not about power, it's not about numbers. It's all about the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Zechariah 4 tells us that. When we open ourselves, we allow him to fill us with himself, with his Ruach. Nothing can defeat us. The Maccabees they did not have might. They didn't have the strength. They didn't have the weapons like their enemies. They didn't even have the numbers. But they had faith. And that faith brought the Ruach. The Lord says, I'll never leave you or abandon you. Amen. They had courage. They had dedication. They had faith in the ability of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are days of being expectant. When we are expectant, I believe the Lord steps in. And we see how a handful of dedicated people change the world. Inspired by faith in him who never fails, they overcame, and we can overcome. I want to encourage you to refuse to accept defeat and to refuse to define yourself through the eyes of the enemy. Refuse to look at yourself as a victim. Look at yourself as a victor. Romans 8, 37. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Maccabees did it, so we can. This is not a time to sit and weep. This is a time to stand, fight, and defend our faith. So as we celebrate the few remaining days of Hanukkah, spare a thought for the real victory of all times, and that victory is Yeshua. Amen. It is not a military victory, but a spiritual victory. Yeshua came for you and me. I remember I was sharing with my brother Jay, and he said something that touched me so much. He said, even if there was only one lost soul here on the earth, Yeshua would have come. He came for you and me. And he tells us in John 16, verse 33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This is the same Yeshua who is appearing all over the world, mostly among Muslim peoples. He's appearing. He appeared to this imam for 1 month, every day, every night. He appeared to him in a dream. Israel is my firstborn. Follow me. At the end of 30 days, this man called the rest of the imams and said, you know what? This is what is going on. This is a dream I've had. 200 imams came to faith in the Holy One of Israel. Nothing can stand in his way. Yeshua has overcome the prince of this world by his death. He vanquished the great enemy of our souls. He has triumphed over all that would work our ruin. He has brought strength and a new lease of life from above for each one of us. Yeshua has also furnished each one of us the means of overcoming all our enemies and triumphing over all the temptations that the enemy will throw at us. In God's eyes, the world is already vanquished. It's a done deal. Satan is a humbled foe. And all that believers have to do is to put on the full armor of the living God. Trust in the captain of our salvation. Live a life of faith, holiness, and obedience, knowing that ours is a done deal. We know how it will all end. Doesn't look like it sometimes, but every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. In ending, the Hanukkah story still lives. May it continue to inspire you, telling us that though tyranny exists, true worship will always win the final battle. We are here because our God created us in love. And through love, we discover meaning and purpose. Our hope is not destroyed. Keep the faith alive. As believers in Messiah Yeshua, we are the voice of hope in this world. May your light shine beyond the sphere of your influence. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
No, they didn't find it. Shoot, that's a good video too. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Some gentlemen are going to be passing the buckets around now, and we're going to ask you to consider participating in Alex's ministry. If you wish to make a check, please make it payable to Roe Israel. We will gather all these things together and put them in a single check to him. Let me tell you why I would urge you to be generous. As in the business world, if someone makes an investment, they normally ask, what's the return on investment? What's going to be a result of my money being placed into this endeavor? What's the return? I can tell you in the ministry that Alex is heading in Zambia and other nations nearby, the return on investments is souls. Souls coming to faith and being discipled. There's a continual discipling happening there. At least twice a year, there are pastors brought from all over that part of the country, even other countries, and they come to learn more and be discipled so that they can make other leaders. Souls are coming to faith by the hundreds. There was a time when Alex reached out to an imam, and the imam came to faith. Alex actually thought he was going to be destroyed. He expected to be killed. He was summoned to be with this imam. And he thought, well, he's going to kill me for my message. And so he went preparing to die. He told his wife, I probably won't see you again. And so it is. He sat down in front of this imam, and he witnessed to this imam. And this imam says, I have made a decision. You're right. The imam came to faith. And so some of his people, in fact, hundreds of his people in that congregation came to faith. They wound up going to the mikveh in the water. And now that mosque is a church. Guys, There is return on investment. So please consider being generous with your funds. Also, every one of you can do this. You can pray. And that may be the most important work you can do at all. I can tell you that I have seen it. Alex sees it more than I do. The forces of evil really, really hate the work that's happening there. Every day, the forces of evil are getting poked in the eye by this ministry. And frankly, we love it. We've had some almost Elijah moments with these guys, and we are intending to continue that. Please help us to bring the pastors. Please help us to finance the ministry. But please pray, because you build a wall around us as we serve, as Alex serves, as Faye serves, as all the staff members do. You build a wall that evil cannot breach. So please, please consider that. Thank you.